Translation and purport. Your Lordship, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are indefatigable time and the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Although I am situated in an abode which will continue to exist for a time duration of 2 parardhas, although I am the leader of all other planets in the universe, and although I have undergone many, many years of penance for self-realization, I still offer my respects unto you. Brahma is the greatest personality in the universe because he has the longest duration of life. He is the most respectable personality because of his penance, influence, prestige, etc. And still he has to offer his respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Therefore, it is incumbent upon all others who are far, far below the standard of Brahma to do as he did and offer respects as a matter of duty. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Ragutatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Sadhubhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Prananami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, Hare Krishna everyone. So thank you for coming to the Srimad Bhagavatam class this morning. I seek blessings from all of you so that we can discuss something that can purify my heart. So this is a really wonderful verse where, you know, Lord Brahma, the greatest personality in the universe, you know, is offering his respects as a matter of duty. So we're continuing with the prayers of Lord Brahma at the time of creation. And in this verse, we see that there are two points here that Srila Prabhupada points out, how Brahma is the greatest personality in the universe, is still paying obeisances, and that, you know, who are we compared to Brahma? So we definitely should be paying our obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I thought that let's first think about who is actually Lord Brahma. So we have been reading, so we know that Lord Brahma is the secondary creator, and Krishna or Vishnu is he creates the situation. So Lord Brahma was, as we know, was born from a lotus flower, and he was sitting at the top of the lotus flower looking around, and there was total darkness. He couldn't see a thing. There was nothing, absolutely nothing there. And he was wondering, who am I? What is my source? What am I meant to do? You know, what am I doing here? And isn't that, you know, in our case, we sometimes wonder, who am I? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? And, you know, that's the reason some of us actually come to Krishna consciousness, to find out. So Lord Brahma then decided to go down the stalk of the lotus, and that took him million years to go down. And when he got down, there was just the sea. And it was a storm, it was thunderous sound, you know, it was like terrible sounds coming from there. And he could not see anything, so he quickly ran up because he was fearful, because it was just so noisy. So then, you know, he's still thinking that, what do I need to do? And in his heart, he hears the word tapa. So he then starts to meditate. And thereafter, the Lord reveals to him, you know, we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Adi Kavaya. So, you know, from the third hole of his flute, Krishna gives the knowledge to Brahma. So, you know, even Brahma, who is the first creator of this creation, had to meditate, like, why am I here and what is my purpose? And so the Lord gave him the knowledge and he started the creation process. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamitra Swami, he gives a really nice analogy. He explains that Brahma is the creator, so he is the brick builder. And everything that is needed, so you know when you're building a house, you need the cement, so that needs to come from the cement factory. You need, you know, the bricks, so they need to come from the brick factory. You need the water, which comes from the river. So you need all these things, the architect to plan the house. But all of this was done by Krishna already. So he had, you know, put everything in place. He supplied all the basic ingredients, and Lord Brahma then, as the secondary creator, uses these materials to then organize and create. So Lord Brahma then created everything we have in this universe. And it is a wonderful place, isn't it? Yes, yes, it's a wonderful place. We have so many beautiful mountains, rivers, you know, so many beautiful things around us. If you even think of the flowers, look at how many varieties, the different colors, the different shapes, the intricate designs. So, you know, it's been made so, so beautifully. So, you know, the master plan was created by Krishna and Brahma made it happen. Then the souls were impregnated into the universe. And because Lord Brahma did such a wonderful job, that the souls who came here wanted to enjoy. And they thought, wow, it's a beautiful place, we can enjoy here. You know, so here we are. But the world is actually a dark well. You know, Dukhalaya Ashvastam. We all feel that this is where we belong. You know, yes, there are problems, but what to do? It's not that bad. You know, it's okay here. And we continually keep suffering. However, one day, in that dark well, there is a rope that is thrown up from upstairs. So somebody throws a rope and says to us, catch that rope. And we look around us, and no one else is interested in catching that rope. And when you want to, they say that, oh no, why do you want to do that? You don't know what's out there. We are all here together. You know, we are all okay. You don't want to go to the top. So there's discouragement there. And then you look up at the well, you know, the top of the well where the rope is, and you see a little smiling face which says to you, you know, catch the rope, you know, come. And that smiling face is Lord Brahma. So he has thrown that rope. So we have four sampradayas. What are the sampradayas that we have? Brahma sampradaya, Sri, Rudra and Kumara. So these four sampradayas, the acharyas or whoever is leading the sampradayas, they all threw those ropes in the whale. And you know, whoever took up the rope came out of the whale. So Lord Brahma has this important job of passing down the Vedic knowledge that he received when he started that meditation at the beginning. And then the Lord Brahma throws the rope to us, and then what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to throw that rope to others, right? It is our job then that we get as many people out of the deep dark well as we can. And how can we do that? How can we throw the rope? Yes, David Prabhu. We have to save ourselves first. So yes, we have to grab the rope and then we try and save others. So, you know, all the wonderful devotees, they go out on Sankirtan. You know, they're trying to, you know, get people to come. You know, that's throwing the rope as well. I sit in this volunteer office, and when, you know, people, you know, we give people opportunities to come closer to Krishna, you know, by giving them service. And, you know, some people, they come because they just want to give back to the community. Some people think that, wow, it's a glamorous thing to do. And then they come, and then, you know, the service is not quite easy. You know, all services are quite challenging. And then they think, oh, not for me. But, you know, and then there are some who just come and want to serve selflessly. So, you know, there are different ways that we are trying to reach out to people, you know, following in that footsteps of Lord Brahma. So anyway, we see the importance of Lord Brahma and how he serves the Lord as no one else is doing. You know, what he did is a special, special service that not many people get to do. And here Srila Prabhupada is actually glorifying him that Brahma is the greatest personality. And because he has the longest duration of life, and we saw that number, I mean, I don't know if any mathematicians here, but if you multiply all those numbers, I don't know what that number even looks like. And he's the most respectful personality because of his penance, his influence, his prestige. And he is paying obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you know, and we should also pay. So let's discuss obeisances. You know, paying obeisances is an integral part of our lives, isn't it? You know, we pay obeisances to the deities, to Tulsi Maharani, to our spiritual master, to our parents, to elders. And sometimes we just do this mechanically. You know, we get down and we get up. But what is the reason for paying obeisances? Anyone have any ideas? Why do we pay obeisances? What's the reason? Humility. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, to show humility. Yes, so, you know, when we bow down, we are giving somebody else that position, that respect. So we are showing humility. Any other reasons? To offer our respects, thank you. So, you know, we offer our respects to anyone who's senior, elder, our parents, and obviously the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And any other reasons why we pay obeisances? Okay, it's part of our sadhana, devotional service. So in the Nectar of Devotion, there are 21st limb of that out of the 64 limbs of bhakti is paying obeisances. And we also see that some people pay obeisances as austerity. I'm sure many of you have gone to the Govardhan Hill, And we say all these people, we see all these people who are paying their full dandavats, and then they put a stone there, they get up, and then they pay their full dandavats. And it takes them like months and months, maybe even years, to go around the Govardhan Hills. So, you know, that's their austerity that they're performing by offering obeisances. And Srila Prabhupada said that devotional service to the Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity, even uncivilized men like the Aborigines. So, you know, they offer their obeisances to something wonderful. You know, if, you know, thunder strikes, they all pay their obeisances because this is something greater than them. You know, when they see something that is exhibited that is wonderful in the nature, they pay obeisances. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan ki jay, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jay, Gaur Nitai ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. So, you know, they pay obeisances, and even in the minds of the jungle people, you know, who are very simple, you know, they pay obeisances, you know, to the sea, to nature, and, you know, that's their way of gradually appreciating the supremacy, the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when they are doing that. You know, that's actually the first step in coming closer to God, that we are acknowledging that there is something higher than us, there is something superior to us. And Bhaktivinod Thakur says that there are four motivations why, you know, they offer obeisances or any activities. One is fear, the other one is reward, duty, and love. So Srila Jiva Goswami says that paying obeisances includes not just Krishna, but everything included, or anything connected to Krishna. So his expansions, anything that's connected, you know, like the rivers, Yamuna River, Tulsi Maharani, the cows. So we need to pay obeisances to all of these. There is a story about Ramanujacharya. Once he was walking on the beach and he saw some children, you know, out of sand, they made deities. And these children were then offering, you know, making offering to these deities. And as he was going past, you know, he stopped and he paid obeisances to the deities that were just made out of sand by the children, because he saw that the children's understanding was that these are deities and we are making offerings. You know, so that should be our mood and humility that, you know, we offer obeisances with. It is a scriptural injunction that in the midst of offering obeisance to the spiritual master, we need to say the mantras aloud. His Holiness Shivram Swami is very strict about this, that when you pay obeisances to the spiritual master, you have to say the mantras loudly, because when we are paying obeisances, not just with the body, it's with our mind and with our words that we are paying obeisances. So we need to say aloud, and then our mind is also there when we are paying obeisances. There are different ways of offering obeisances. Can anyone say what the different ways are of offering obeisances? How do we actually pay obeisances? Yes, Prabhu. Dandavat pranam. So dandavat is when you fall like a rod, you know, straight down and offer dandavats. And then? Anything? Yes, yeah. Thank you. Must have that understanding. Thank you. Yes, so you know we keep pay our obeisances as dandavat. We can fold our hands and pay our obeisances. There is the Ashtanga, you know, way where eight limbs are touching the floor, and then there is Panchanga, where five parts, so you know, the arms, knees and head is touching, You know, Matajis usually pay obeisances in that way. So there are different types of obeisances that we pay. You know, we saw in the story where Lord Brahma, you know, Vibhohana, where he stole the calves and cows, and when he was remorseful, he came, and because he has four heads, he was offering obeisances on each side, so each of the head would touch the floor. You know, because when he was paying obeisances with one head, the other three heads were higher. So, you know, he did that to show that he was, you know, totally humble and, you know, paying obeisances like that. In the Nectar of Devotion, it mentions, there's a lot of information about obeisances actually in the Nectar of Devotion. It is mentioned that the importance of obeisances as a discipline is to get rid of the madness of material consciousness. So, you know, as part of the treatment that we've been given by our acharyas and the sadhus and the shastras, is that if one genuinely pays their obeisances with all humility, gradually the impurities in our heart will also go. So, you know, it's an important part of our sadhana. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, in our scriptures, there are so many verses where, you know, we see that obeisances are offered. You know, we have Kunti Maharani, you know, offering Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamalini, all those obeisances. We have Namo Mahavadanyaya, Namo Brahmanya Hitayacha. All these, you know, mantras and prayers, they all have obeisances, namo. So namo means we are bowing down. So there are so many, you know, prayers like that, showing us that, you know, obeisances are so important. However, in this material world, people think that's it's demeaning. Everyone is equal. Why do you need to pay obeisances to somebody else? You know, and that's the attitude, you know, there is in this material world. But, you know, we as devotees or aspiring devotees know that it's part of humility, and it's so important that we do this with our body, mind and words. There is a story, and I'll sort of end with this. There is a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Balaram. So, you know, Lord Balaram, you know, when the arrangements were being made for the fight of Kurukshetra, you know, by the two rival parties, you know, one by Duryodhan and one by Pandava, you know, he didn't like the idea and he tried to meditate, be a mediator. And then, you know, finally he was, he just left and he went on places of pilgrimage. So finally he came to Naimisharanya. And when he visited, so I'll just read this bit. When Lord Balaram visited that place, there was a great sacrifice being performed by the great assembly of transcendentalists. Such meetings were planned to last thousands of years. When Lord Balaram arrived, all the participants in the meeting, great sages, brahmanas, learned scholars, immediately arose from their seats and offered obeisances and respects by standing up and paying obeisances. And those who were elderly, great sages and brahmanas offered him blessings after standing up. After this formality, Lord Balaram was offered a suitable seat and everyone present worshipped him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Education or learning means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Balaram appeared on earth as a Kshatriya, all the Brahmanas and sages stood up because they knew who Lord Balaram was. Unfortunately, Balaram saw Romaharshana, the disciple of Vyasadeva, was still sitting on the Vyasasan. And because, you know, he'd not gotten up or he hadn't offered any respects to Lord Balaram, And because he was seated on the Vyasasan, he foolishly thought himself greater than the Lord. Therefore, he did not get down. Lord Balram also observed this, Lord Balram did not like the audacity of Ramaharshana, and becoming very angry at him, declared from his seat, "This man, Ramaharshana, is so impudent that he has accepted a higher seat than all the respectable Brahmanas here, although he was born from a degraded family." When a person is seated on the Vyasasan, he does not generally have to stand to receive a particular person entering the assembly. But in this case, the situation was different because Lord Baladev or Balaram is not an ordinary human being. So Lord Balaram then, just with a kusa straw, so you know, a blade of grass, he just threw that at Ramaharshana, and Ramaharshana left his body. So this story shows that how important it is that we show. And we also know, we don't have time, so we're not going to go into the story of Parikshit Maharaj. But this is a story where he went and the Brahmana did not show him respect and he got so annoyed. And we saw the consequences of what happened, you know, after that. So there are many, many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well about how important it is and the consequences of not paying, obeisances. Little Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he was showing respects and prayers to Lord Narsingadev when he appeared. So one can offer out of fear, but it's better to offer out of duty, and it's even better to offer out of love. So we hear here that Srila Prabhupada stresses that even important personality like Lord Brahma is paying obeisances. So we all, what do we have to be proud of, really? Whatever we have, the Supreme Personality has given us. And so, you know, we should also be paying obeisances. And Lord Brahma had already made this mistake, you know, in the Brahma Vimohana pastime, where he, you know, Maya is so powerful that he also thought that, is this little boy, you know, playing with these coward boys, is he really the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he wanted to test him. And then, you know, he came and he paid his obeisances and he was begging for forgiveness. So we also need to be so careful because Maya is so, so powerful, and you know, we can also become proud and think that why do I need to pay obeisances to this person, maybe not to that person, but with humility we know that we need to pay obeisances to everyone. And you know, that's what the Lord likes. We see that in when the Rasalila was happening, Radharani just for a split second thought that, wow, you know, out of all these gopis, Krishna is just with me. And to teach that lesson to us through that leela, Krishna immediately disappeared. So, you know, we also have to be very careful that we do not become proud. We have nothing to become proud about, and we should humbly also offer obeisances. So I will end here. Thank you so much for listening patiently. Any reflections, corrections? Yes, Prabhuji, do we have a mic?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. This prayer by Lord Brahma, this particular verse, I found very confusing, because here he's saying, although I'm the leader of all the planets, I have undergone so many penance, still I offer my obeisances to you. This is just like we coming to Radha Gokulam and then telling, although my father is a big businessman, although I am a graduate from XYZ University, although I work for ABC company, still I offer my respects to you. So that's a bit inappropriate, right? So
yes.
How do you understand this?
So like I said, that Lord Brahma, although he's saying that, look at me, I am the creator, I am this, but who is the master plan behind the master plan? That's Krishna. So everything we have been given. So, you know, your father might be a, something great, but who gave him that position? He might have all the opulences, but who gave him that opulence? So just like that, you know, Lord Brahma was given all this. Who gave it to him? You know, it's only by Krishna's mercy that Lord Brahma, and also the, you know, when he was meditating, it was Lord Krishna that who gave him the knowledge. He didn't know what to do. He was sitting there thinking, it's pitch dark, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing here. But when the knowledge came from the Lord, then he was able to create. Right? So, and Lord Brahma, as we know, he's made a mistake beforehand as well when he's become proud. And that's the whole point I was sharing, that, you know, we have to be very careful that we don't become proud like that, you know, that my father is this and this, so I am also this and this. You know, everything is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we have nothing to be proud of. Thank you, Prabhu. Mataji.
As far as I remember, in the Nectar of Devotion, it says that it's an offense to offer obeisances to others while you're in front of the deity. So I wanted to ask, why do we offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas and to Srila Prabhupada even though we're in front of the deities?
Okay, that's a tricky one. And I've heard different things as well, that when the curtains are open, if your spiritual master walks in, then you do not pay obeisances. This is what I've heard as well. But then we do pay obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, when we say Vanchakalpa, you know, we pay obeisances. So I really don't have the answer. I don't know if anyone else can share some. Damodar Prabhu, can we have the mic, please?
Shradhik, sir, I asked this question before to His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, and he said that basically that it was in Prabhupada's time and it was done and it was accepted by Prabhupada, and because he's the Acharya, whatever the Acharya says becomes accepted. So Sri Prabhupada accepted it, so therefore it continues. That's his, what Maharaj explained.
Yeah. Also, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you disrespect my devotees and you offer respect to me, then I will not accept it. So, you know, his devotees are more dear to him. So, yeah, but as Prabhuji said, if Maharaj said that, then yeah, we accept that. Is that okay, Mataji? Okay, Prayojan Prabhu? It's not on, Prabhu.
Gaur Govinda Swami, he and other Maharajas, while people are offering having their prasad, they don't have to offer obeisances to the thing. It's disrespectful to the thing. So he says, no, you just carry on, because the spiritual master likes to see you honouring prasad. It says so in the prayers that we sing in the morning. So, but also, there's a way that sometimes you get a little pat on the head from somebody who's senior to you. And there's nothing like it. I can remember it's happened to me several times. I won't embarrass the person he may be hearing, but certainly it's just a little pat on the head, and somehow it's an amazing thing. It's a response from a senior person. They just tap you on the head.
Yeah,
like patting a dog.
Yeah, it's blessings, isn't it? They're giving blessings.
It's showing that they're grateful.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And like prasadam is no different to the Lord. So we are honouring prasadam. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. So on following on from Prajna Prabhu's point, if you're taking prasadam and the spiritual master walks in, how do you acknowledge or offer respects? Because it said that while taking prasadam we shouldn't offer obeisances.
Mm. Prayojan Prabhu? Yeah. I think it's about, like we said, you can pay obeisances all these different ways as long as you've paid obeisances. So, you know, if you can't give your full dandavats, then at least, with your body, you're showing some gesture. With your words, you might be offering obeisances, saying the mantra, bowing your head. So it's showing respect. So, you know, even if you can't do dandavat, at least that's another way, you know, like even folding our hands. I mean, that's why we have this, you know, we are offering our respects to other people when we fold our hand like that. So I would say that there are other ways of offering respects as well. Is that okay?
Actually,
thank you.
I really miss offering dandavats.
Oh.
It's a painful situation. You know, just
knowing how to do it. That's fine, but you know, there are other, like we say, there are other ways of offering which we can do, you know. And it's rooms, yeah.
What to do?
Yeah, but yeah, as long as it's with, you know, in our heart we are paying, that's the most important thing. You know, this body has limitations, so if we are doing it from our heart, that's the most important thing. Yeah, thank you. So thank you all very much. Srimad Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavind ki jai.